You know, I think all of us that have dealt with this issue in positions of government understand how challenging it is, and it's particularly challenging now at a time when people are naturally focused and worried about the economy. And we found it tough in the UK. Europe as a whole is finding it tough to deal with this challenge. But here's what I think stands out to me and is the reason why, nonetheless, we need to act and we need to make sure that we get a global agreement, not just an agreement here in the US and elsewhere in different parts of the developed world, but a global agreement. The first is that the science is, if anything, getting clearer. It's getting unequivocal. If there are people out there who really doubt this on any precautionary basis, we should be acting. Not to act is irresponsible. The second thing is that if we do act, there are also tremendous opportunities. If this country here, but also countries around the world, are talking about stimulus packages for their economy for perfectly understandable reasons, it makes sense, surely, as part of the long-term investment, to invest in clean energy for the future, so that as economic growth grows again, then we do not find ourselves back in the position of dependence on high-priced carbon to the damage of the environment and actually to the erosion of our security in issues to do with energy. The business people here were giving eloquent testimony of the job possibilities of a move to a low-carbon economy. In my view, those possibilities are immense. And if we are sensible about it, practical about it, we can create enormous opportunities for our people and create a situation in which, as our economies grow again, they are growing in a more sustainable way and growing in a way that produces jobs that are actually helping building a sustainable economy for the future. The third thing is this, that we know that America has a key leadership role on this, as in all other issues. And there's tremendous excitement and expectation at the commitment that the new administration of President Obama has made here. I think it's worth saying that all of us are going to have to work to translate that expectation into reality and to make sure that as America is prepared to act, so the other parts of the world are prepared to act as well. And this is a challenge for America, it's a challenge for Europe, but it is also a challenge for the developing world as well. Over these past couple of years, China has set actually bold targets, bolder than people think, I believe, on renewable energy, on energy intensity, on changing the nature of their economy. But how China develops in the next few years, and India and other developing nations, that is also going to be a major part of this picture. And of course, is why we need a global agreement. Whatever countries can do of their own, we can do far more if we do it as part of a global accord, where there are obligations, albeit of a differentiated nature, on everyone. And the final point I'd make by way of opening is this, that this challenge is, of course, intensely difficult for political leaders. And it's not so long that I've been out of office that I don't still understand what it's like to have to take those practical decisions. And it's always more difficult when, in a sense, you've got short-term pressures, but the challenge is a long-term challenge that you know is there and acute and has to be dealt with. And it does require a very special and visionary type of political leadership, because people will worry as we go through this transition. And our task is to say to people, first of all, we do have to deal with this because the climate is changing and the consequences of that on certainly our children's generation, if not ours, will be severe if we do not take action. But also that we can show practical, clear ways that this problem can be dealt with. 70% of the abatement that we need comes from existing technology. And yet, as we heard this morning, there are also new and exciting technologies being developed the whole time. Just in energy efficiency alone, there could be tremendous gains if we had the right policies to meet them. So this is not a problem that is beyond our capacity to solve. There are solutions, they are practical, and they will build not merely a better environment, but a more sustainable economy for the future. And I think the importance of a meeting like this this morning is that it brings together business people and policy thinkers and policy makers. And between us, I think that we can take that tremendous sense of hope and expectation and excitement that's there at the moment with the commitment of the new administration and help turn that into practical policy with a practical consequence that supports the generations of the future.
What's necessary for the U.S. to bring something to the table to Copenhagen? Is it actually passing a bill? You yourself said it would be a tough political challenge, particularly during a recession. Is a climate bill necessary? Secondly, do you agree that a carbon tariff is essential to get international involvement, China, India, etc.?
First of all, the most important thing is obviously that America comes to Copenhagen and wants to be part of the global deal and is part of it. It helps, obviously, the further along you are in the legislative process here, that's for sure. So I know there's various discussions now taking place. There will no doubt be a lot of debate on this in the months to come. But sure, the further along you are, the better it will be. But I think the single most important thing is the administration having made a very clear commitment. And, I think the appointment, again, of Todd Stern is also a very good and strong sign of the commitment of the administration, that they come to Copenhagen and we get American participation in a constructive way to reach a deal. I also think that obviously this won't work unless we have a carbon price. I mean, that is in the end, the answer to this, and I think this is quite an important point to make, the answer to this problem will be in the development of the science and the technology. That will be done not by government with some very heavy-handed bureaucratic system. It will be done by creating a framework of incentives where these guys in business know that they're now operating with a clear direction, a clear path, clear incentives, and they will develop the creativity and the ingenuity of the private sector will in many ways be what develops the solutions to this. So, yes, there does have to be a carbon price. And, of course, there's debates about, I mean, personally, I think in respect of cap and trade, that is the best way to go. I mean, that again, will no doubt be a continuing debate. But I think, there is a great sense of hope now that this argument has moved on here. And I think what we've got to do now is translate that into a global deal, because I also think the prospect of a global agreement makes it easier in the politics of individual countries. If people here think that America is going to act, but, for example, other countries aren't, China isn't, then obviously that makes it harder as a sell. Likewise in our country. But equally, from the other perspective, for China to go even further than it is going now and to take strong action, yes, of course, it will expect that there is a commitment there from the developed world as well. So, I mean, a global accord is essential, and the blunt reality is the position of America and the position of China is crucial to getting one.